Genesis 32, verses 1 through 12, these are God's words. So Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Then Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Speak thus to my lord Esau. Thus your servant Jacob says, I have dwelt with Laban and stayed there until now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, male and female servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find favor in your sight." Then the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and he also is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him." So Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that were with him, and the flocks and herds and camels, into two companies. And he said, "If Esau comes to the one company and attacks it, then the other company which is left will escape." And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, Yahweh who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant. For I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. For I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. For you said, I will surely treat you well, and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. And as we heard in the preaching yesterday on the Lord's Day, this is a passage in which Jacob gets turned from grumbling, in which he feels like everything is always against him and he's never getting as good as he deserves, to gratitude, in which he realizes his great unworthiness and God's greater goodness to him, and pleading for grace, in which he is asking for deliverance. "Deliver me, I pray." Verse 11, "from the hand of my brother." And so there are many things by which, many ways by which the Lord in this passage turns him away from his grumbling by reminding him of his unworthiness, or bringing to his attention his unworthiness, and working in him instead gratitude, because as he realizes his unworthiness, he realizes that the Lord has been very loving and faithful to him. One of the great horrors of our grumbling is that whenever we have a grumbling spirit, we're really saying, "The Lord has not really been so very loving towards me," or "The Lord has not really been so very faithful towards me." Sometimes I even notice during your doing your schooling, and you know, whether it's expressing vigorous frustration or sitting in a chair and weeping or whatever, you remember that the school that you have to do and the ability that the Lord has given you to do it and the time, all of those things are assigned to you by the Lord. And so when you act that way, you're saying, "The Lord has not been very loving to me. The Lord has not been very faithful to me." When I express my frustration with you, or if I would express frustration with you, that also would be me saying, "The Lord has not been very loving to me. The Lord has not been very faithful to me." Grumbling is a horrible thing. We need instead to practice gratitude, to see that our lives are full of the Lord's steadfast love towards us, and full of the Lord's faithfulness towards us, and that we are not worthy of the least of these things. And if we turn from grumbling into gratitude, then we will say, then we'll respond to the things that are in front of us by asking the Lord for more grace. Asking the Lord for help is good. We realize when we are mindful of our unworthiness and His goodness that whenever we ask for help, what we're really asking for is grace, because the help that we're asking for is help that we're not worthy of. And the help that we're asking for is something that we have not just don't have a claim upon from ourselves, but we don't have the ability to produce in ourselves. So it must come by His worthiness, by His goodness, by His character, not because of who we are and what we have done, but because of who He is and what He has promised and what He has done. And we'll review the five different ways that God brings Jacob to that realization from yesterday's sermon. Hopefully you remember them all, and if you don't, then come and ask me sometime today and we'll review it together. Just that need to turn from grumbling to gratitude, so that as we ask the Lord for help, we realize and remember that what we're really asking for is grace, and He is full of grace. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask that You would help us to remember Your steadfast love and Your faithfulness. Help us to see and remember and acknowledge our unworthiness, so that whatever comes to us in Your wise and powerful and good providence, that we wouldn't have a grumbling heart against it as if we are somehow receiving less than we are entitled to, but that we would always be grateful as we see You piling, heaping up upon us steadfast love and faithfulness. And so we pray that You would enlarge our hearts with gratitude towards You, and that when we are in need of help, You would cause our hearts and minds to turn to You in a way of asking for grace, asking for good things of which we are not worthy, that because of who You are, and because of what You have promised, and because of what You have done, that You would give us the help despite whom we have shown ourselves to be in ourselves, but instead that You would treat us as we are through faith in Christ and in union with Him. Please do this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.